Blog Talk Radio.
The sound.
And missionaries go through things that they don't want to talk about in the church,
We're going to encourage other men and women of God on today how to move forward and just know that they are chosen for the oil and that they can walk in great things that God has for their life. Hallelujah. Let's go and get started on today. I'm just excited about different avenues and different things that we're going to talk about on today. On today, we're just going to be excited for God. We're representing the kingdom and high expectation. We're representing the kingdom, the kingdom crunching and kingdom banging. We know that God is just going to do great things. I'm here to let you know on today, every apostle that's listening to the sound of my voice, every prophet that's listening to the sound of my voice, every evangelist, every pastor, every teacher, I want you to know to be encouraged. I want to let you know that you're not in this walk by yourself. You have men and women of God. All of the world is praying for you. And if you feel that you don't have anybody that you can talk to, you feel that you don't have anybody that you can lean to, you can dial my number. My number is 269-861-6839, 269-861-6839. Look me up on Facebook, Evangelist Tashana Wiley, or you can look me up on Twitter, Pastor Tashana Wiley. On today, on this show, we're going to talk about all different types of avenues. I'm telling you, today, we're just going to get, in the next 40 minutes or so, we're going to get to different things that, hey, that we know that we don't have time sometimes to talk about in the pulpit. Most times, whenever we are in ministry, we're only talking about certain things that, you know, we know the people need. But what about that leader that's up on that pulpit? I want to hear from you on today. I want to allow you to call me at 917-889-7059. I want some of you to get in on Skype. I want some of you to get in the chat room. And we're going to talk about different avenues. Why do ministers and pastors and evangelists and apostles and pastors and teachers struggle with things? Today we're going to talk about ministry first. First we're going to talk about ministry and being a leader. Being a leader means that you are in control of other people's lives, that you're being, a lot of people think in being a leader that when you're a leader that, you know, you're basically, I can't say Superman because kryptonite is his weakness. Basically, you're Iron Man, that you can't be touched, that, you know, you're basically a superhero, and that you don't have issues and struggles and things that you battle with for yourself on a daily basis. So when you begin to talk about people in leadership as apostles, as prophets, as evangelists, pastors, teachers, missionaries, administrators, prayer warriors, deacons, and any position in leadership. You know, when you have your personal problems, most times you have your problems, you fight past your problems, and you keep it moving because you are dedicated, you are motivated, you are committed to your chosen cause in God. So on today, I want to ask some questions. I want to hear back from you. I don't want to have all the answers on today. I know I talked to God about all these different questions and topics that he given me to talk to the people about, and I just want to hear you call in. And if you can't call in, even after the show is over, I want you to hit me up on Facebook. I want you to text me. I want you to email me at TashanaWiley1, TeShanaWly1 at yahoo.com. I want you to email me and give me the answers to the things that you think why the leaders deal with certain things in ministry. Well, on today, we're going to talk about what and why do leaders struggle? What do they struggle with? Why do they struggle? Does this mean they are not powerful and effective leaders because that the pressure taken under? Your leader, now this is the question right here that I definitely want someone to call in on today, 917-889-7059. If your leader or your leader, you know, told you or addressed their issue with you and weakness with you, would you see him or her the same way that you did before you knew they had this illness and this weakness or this problem? And why do people let certain things take them down, what people say? Do you think that's the reason why they do this? Because they think that their leaders are weak? I just have all different types of questions. And just some of them just call a few, but I want to talk. We're going to go to the first question right now. I want people to call in right now, 917-889-7059. If you're at work and you just can't talk on the phone right now, I want you to get into the Blog Talk Radio /Tashana Wiley. Get in there, and I want you to begin to talk to me about this question. The first question we're going to go over right now is, why do pastors, apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, missionaries, administrators, prayer warriors, deacons, anyone in ministry leadership, why do they struggle? That's the question I want to ask right now. Why do they struggle? Come on, I want to hear some feedback on today. We want to talk about why do they struggle? Why do they go through the things that they go through? Why are they having the problems? We're gonna talk about this thing on today because this is some things that a lot of leaders don't want to talk about. Right now we're so many things that men and women of God are going through, and they're losing their lives. They're taking their lives out. They're stepping out from their positions. They're getting sick. They're leaving this world before their point in time. And the enemy is making them think that they don't have help. It's kind of like in 1 Kings 19, verse 1 through 8. Elijah, when Jezebel had begun to go out, and she began to speak, and she began to say, let the Lord deal with me ever so severely. By this time tomorrow, Elijah will be dead. Okay, what did Elijah do? The Bible said in verse 3, Elijah was afraid, and he ran for his life. And when he began to get to the point, he said, you know, while he was by himself, he began to say, look, you know what I'm saying? Hey, he went and got up on the trip and, Lord, you know, beg the Lord, pray to the Lord. Lord, you know, take my life. Let me die. I have enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. Because he felt he was the only one left. He felt he was, oh, God. He felt that he was all alone. He felt that he had no one left. So he began to wonder, you know, hey, what's the use of doing all this? Yeah, I called down fire from heaven. Yeah, the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me in power. Yeah, God used me to raise the widow woman from the dead. Yeah, the Lord allowed me to let the widow woman cabinet be full more than enough. Yeah, the Raiders fell me. Yeah, I killed all the prophets of Baal. But right now at this moment, what I'm going through, I got depression. I got suicide fear. Now I feel like I don't have anyone left. Now I feel like no one's there for me. Now I feel like no one loves me, and I feel like I'm all alone. So, what would you do if it was you? What would you do? You know, what would you do? What would you say? You know, if you was in leadership, put yourself in a position of a leader. If you was in a leadership, and you happen to read you some things that God had given me that leaders deal with on a daily basis, the things that cause a leader to struggle, stress, number one. Two, burnout. Three, no one to confide in. Four, finances. Five, marital problems. Five, no communication with their spouses. Six, unhappiness. Seven, sexual problems, lust, infidelity, porn, sexual perversion, and many other things, et cetera, that's connected to that. Next, depression. And nine, conflict. And 10, struggles. And they past pain, life, and issues and things they went through in their younger days before they was called into ministry. Now think about this. If you was not a minister, but you just dealing with this in your own personal time, or you was not in leadership and you were dealing with this, period, being a sister and brother in the Lord, or just a normal person, period, don't you think that the pressure will fall upon you? Don't you think that you would need God to help you and to guide you in your steps? The Bible says in Jeremiah 29:11, we all quote the scripture. So much you'll follow the plans I have for you, says the Lord, a plan of good and not evil until the specific end. But just be honest. Do a lot of us really trust that whenever stress come our way and worry come our way? Do a lot of us really trust that we burnt out and we even gave out to everybody else, but now we really need somebody to pour into us? But the reason why I don't go to people because when I do, they're going to spread my business all over the world. Then they're going to look at me differently. And then when I tell somebody about my struggles and my issues and my weakness, the people's not going to receive me or accept me anymore. Do you think that's the reason why a lot of leaders do not confide with someone in the church? Do you think that's the reason why leaders do not share their business and they lie and they cover up and they hide and they try to, you know, they kind of like they're not transparent with themselves. They wear the mask. Actually, right now, God has me writing a book called Mask Today and Purpose Driven Tomorrow. I've been there. I wore masks for many years in the church. I wore masks. I can pray the mountains down, cast out a devil, speak in unknown tongues, lay hands on the sick. I'm talking about literally raising the dead, things, all types of things that God has used me as a vessel to do. But in the meantime, I was wearing a mask. And the mask at the time that I was wearing was I was dealing with problems and issues. I just want you you to call in on today at 917-889-7059. And I want you to answer these questions. You know, would you accept a man or woman of God if they truly came to you and told you, daughter, son, I'm dealing with stress. I worry all the time. I'm burnt out. I don't have no one confiding, so I confide in you. Would you still see the leader the same way? If they told you they was burnt out, and they told you that their finances was low and they was about to go to bankruptcy, and they do a little crooked things on the side to get money, would you see the leader the same? They told they had marital problems, and they feel their spouse don't love them, and they're not communicating, and they're not connecting, and they're not in love, and they're not doing things that grown married people do. Would you still see the leader the same way? They told they was very unhappy, and they depressed, and they have low self-esteem, and they feel no one loved them. Would you still see the leader the same way if they told you they had sexual problems dealing with lust and infidelity and porn and any other type of sexual perversion? Would you still connect with the leader and see them the same way they told you they had a conflict person and they had a conflict family and the church members and friends and they like to lie and they have drama and they gamble and they drink on occasions and they still struggling with their past and they can't let go of past things that they love to do? Would you still see the leader the same way? I want to hear from you. I want you to call in at 917-889-7059. I want you to hit me up in the chat room. I want you to text me. I want you to let me know, would you still see a leader the same way? And can God still use a leader that's dealing with these type of issues? We just read 1 Kings 19:1 and 8, when Elijah had the suicide spirit and he was depressed. And then when also in 1 Kings 19:1 and 8, it talked about the issues he dealt with. And then after it talked about the strength that he got. And then it talked about in 1 Kings 20, how he said, if I be a man of God, let fire fall down on you and your 50 men and consume you. It talks about the power that Elijah had the more after he dealt, God dealt with his issue. I see that I have a call in for right now. We only have like 20 minutes left on the show, so I can't, whoever has to be on the air, you can't talk 5 to 10 minutes because the show's not that long. But I want you to share just briefly a little bit the question I just asked everyone. Would you still see a leader the same if they came to you and or you know that they have certain issues and problems that they're dealing with? You call me, you're live on the air. Your number is 818-7066. You're live on the air. Caller?
Hello, this is Evangelist Lee. How are you, daughter?
I'm blessed. How are you, Mama? How are you?
I'm blessed and highly favored. I'm not to judge anyone. It's not my call to judge. It's not my place to judge. What I would do is ask them if we could pray. And we would offer prayer unto God, because God is a God of restitution. He can restore. And we would pray and ask them to repent of their sins, because we are all like sheep and have gone astray, and there is none righteous but God. But if would I feel the same, I won't partake of another man's sin, but I'm not going to judge anyone, because we have not all attained. We have not all arrived. But I know God is a healer, and he can mend those broken pieces back together. And I will stand in the gap for them and believe God for restitution and restoration. I just believe that while the blood is running warm in our veins, there's always hope. There's hope to repent. There's hope to be restored. And I just will just stand in the gap and continue to pray for them and to continue to tell them about a more excellent way, and just ask them to continue to be prayerful and fast and lay out prostrate before the Lord and fasting and praying on their behalf. And that's our duty as a Christian, not to judge.
Amen, amen, Mom. That is really excellent, because, you know, a lot of leaders, actually today God had dropped us in my spirit to do a live broadcast today, because I didn't have one scheduled, and I was happy that they accepted me in such a period of time. God let me know to do this show because there's so many leaders that's out there in this world, and they're struggling with their issues and their problems. And, you know, I just read to the listeners and the viewers the things that I studied today, that a lot of leaders deal with: stress, burnout, no one to confide in, finances, marital problems, and no communication in their marriage, unhappiness, sexual problems, and depression and conflict and you know, all different things that they deal with. And so a lot of times they are afraid of what you just said, judging. A lot of leaders are afraid of what the people will say, how they will judge them, you know, will they look at them the same way, will they see them as this mighty woman, a man of God, a man or woman of God in their struggles. So they lie and they hide and they sneak and they cover up and even kind of hypnose their own self to believe that they're not really doing it. You know, there's nothing wrong with them because they're walking in a tradition, you know, the tradition way or the religion way or, you know, wearing the mask to cover up who they are. And so this is a show that God wanted me to do today and probably many more days after today to let the men and women of God know that it's okay. God has your back. Whatever you're dealing with, God will take you out. Do not give up. Because there's so many leaders that are depressed, that are killing themselves, that are stepping down, that are feeling that they're all alone, like I read to them about earlier, 1 Kings 19:1-8, how the prophet Elijah, when Jezebel said, you know, Elijah's going to be dead this time tomorrow, he felt, okay, look, I'm the only one left. Lord, take my life. Kill me. You know, I want to die. The Bible said he prayed to God that he may die. Because he felt like most leaders today do, he felt he was all alone. And so God wants this show today to let them know that they're not alone and that it's no matter how you get decided, that you can move forward and that you can be motivated in this walk in the same way God gave Elijah energy, courage, strength, and power. The more, he will do it for them as well.
Amen. God hates sin. He does not hate men. He does not hate women. He hates the sin. So we have to restore them. It's our duty as a Christian to restore them back unto God. And the Bible said, with love and kindness have I drawn men. We have to continue to love them, to continue to pray for them, to continue to fellowship with them, not in the sin that they're doing, but when they decide that they want to pray, we have to be there to pray. We've got to get up in the wee hours of the night when God speaks to our heart and tell us to get up and pray for them. We've got to be obedient. We've got to pray because we don't know where the enemy tempted Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. He tempted Jesus Christ on the mountain. But you know what? We don't know how the enemy is going to tempt us. That's why you have to fast and pray. The Bible says watch and pray. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, and sometimes the flesh get weak. But you got to know when your flesh get weak, that's when it's time for you to get down on your prayer bones, to get down on your knees. And if you can't say nothing but, Lord, help me, please. Lord, help me, Jesus. Just keep saying, Lord, help me. Just call Jesus. Just call Jesus. Those temptations, because there's no temptation come nigh thee where the Lord has not made a way of escape. And it's not a sin to pray and ask God to be tempted. The sin lies when you don't resist the temptation. So we all are going to be tempted, but we have to resist the devil and he will flee. Tell Satan to get behind thee. But it's not our job to judge because we have not arrived. God is still working on us. None of us have arrived. None of us are perfect. We're all striving to enter in. And we've got to love them. Those are our brothers and sisters in Christ. We've got to continue to love. Just like when we fall out, our natural sisters and brothers fall out with us. Because as Christians, we don't fall out with them, but they fall out with us because they don't want to hear the gospel. And they don't want to listen when you're trying to show them a more excellent way. But we've got to continue to love them. Salvation is predicated on love for God. So love the world, and everyone that's in the world, that he gave his only begotten son. Yes, he said, whosoever will, let him come. And we just got to continue to pray that God, that they will have a change of heart and they will go back to their first love.
Amen. That is, I'm telling you, that is a wonderful, mighty, powerful response. That is like a lot of times, you know, I know I was just telling them when I was, I know how to, you know, play the part. I know how to pray a mountain down and do many things, but I had certain things myself, Mom, that I battled with and dealt with on myself. And as I was dealing with battling with those things, you know, God was still yet working on me because I was so caught up in, you know, you're a pastor, you know what I'm saying? You're assistant pastor of this church. You run this church. So since this is who you are, you know, you can't let the people know your weaknesses. You can't let the people know your illnesses or your things you're dealing with. You got to keep it moving. And at the same time, when I was doing it, I was dying on the inside. I was dying on the inside, and, you know, I was struggling with two things until God said, You got to get up out of yourself. You got to let me do this. Who cares what people say? Who cares
Amen.
What they say, how they say? This, I need you to set yourself down. And I was like, Lord, is you talking to me? Yes, you. I need you to set yourself down. Yeah, you. Set yourself down and let me work on you. And I'll do this
Amen.
In you, through you, and for you. And that's what I did. And they didn't understand at the time when I set myself down. They didn't understand. They asked, why did I do that? But God had to work on me and do something great and dynamic in me. And so that's what
Amen.
I was asking the people of God on today that's listening in. You know, why do you think that leaders struggle? Why do you think that they go through the things that they go through? So I'm going to ask them some more questions, and I just appreciate you, Mom, calling in. If I have some more time before we over, I will want you to say something encouraging to the viewers. I have a few more people that's in that I want to try to get in on the line. This show is only technically 30 minutes long, but we get an extra 15 minutes. So I just want to get some more people on the line and hear what they saying about the topics on today. I love you, and I thank God for you, Mama Shirley.
Praise God.
Yes, everybody, that was my a pop woman of God, one of my spiritual sisters, Pastor Sean, who graduated and got ordained 2013 School of the Prophets. And I'm telling you, her mind is on fire just like she is as well. And I'm just so excited and encouraged about great things that God is doing in the school. Next, the next question that I want to ask a lot of you listeners and viewers that's on the airwaves on today, what do you think protects leaders from massive stress? Well, we just got on talking about earlier the 10 different things that causes leaders struggles. So what do you think that will protect them from stress? We know that stress, burnout, no one to confide in, finances, marital problems, no communication with their spouse, unhappiness, sexual problems, lust, infidelity, porn, issues from their childhood, past pain and hurt in relationships, the earlier part of their life before they became in ministry, depression, mental illness, conflict, family member, friends. What do you think that will protect leaders from massive stress? Well, I have a few things right here that I have studied on today, and I've got the answers. I want to hear some from some of you. We have like about 14 minutes left on the air, and I want to read some of these things to you. One, it says, Pastor Mark McCann says, personal and intimate devotion to God outside of sermon preparation is the number one thing that all pastors, apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, administrators, prayer warriors, anything in leadership, what they should do outside of studying for your sermon, which is probably Saturday night or Sunday morning, you should have a personal, intimate relationship with God. God has to be your everything. He has to be your in and out, your life, your strength, your health, your existence, of your being. Two, hobbies. Outside of ministry, find you something that you love to do. Find something that makes you happy. Find something that makes you smile. Remember, laughter is a cheerful medicine. And a lot of times, laughter edifies your soul. I learned this in school last year, that whenever you have high blood pressure, if you laugh and if you sing, even though it don't sound good to no one else, if you begin to open up your mouth and sing, your blood pressure will go down by 4 points. Three, exercise periodically. I know a lot of us don't do it. I thank God for the last 4 months, 5 months, you know me about exercising. I lost 45 pounds, and I'm still continuing to do it. I have been feeling better more in my life now than I have in a long time. Exercise periodically. Don't you know that when you exercise, it takes down stress, it takes down blood pressure, it helps your blood flow and gives you cardio like never before. Number four, get regular time away. Get time away from your issues, your problems, the people of the church, sometimes from your family, just to relieve stress and get that stress out. Get some time away to think. I was listening to my Bible studies early as I was beginning to prepare for this broadcast. And it says in the book of Mark, I think it was Mark 7, that how Jesus told the disciples to go out and get you some rest, and he went to a place of solitude. Why do you think when Jesus performed miracles, signs, and wonders, he went off by himself? Because he needed that solitude and that serene peace and that rest that he needed. Five, it says good marriage. Apostle, a prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, or anyone in leadership, whether it's a male or a female, when you have a good marriage and communication with that spouse in every area of life or whatever you need your spouse to be, sometimes if you are a pastor or one of them male, and your husband is the first, you know, the first husband, or you're one, you're the first lady, he don't always need that first lady. He may need his friend, his counselor, his lover, his teacher, his lawyer. He may just need you just to be you, or you know, him to be him. She may need him to be him, so you communicate and have a good marriage. It says that a good, solid marriage allow a man, a woman, a God to go further in ministry. Remember, when you play chess, or have any chess players on the line or listening in, the queen always protects the king when he's down. Always. So remember that. And then it says that, six, if a leader has support, help from others to take the load off, that takes away a lot of struggles and worries from a leader. And seven, members, resources, assistance, and finances. A lot of times people think that because you preach, you're going to get paid money. No, I've been doing it for 5 years now. Baby, preaching ain't going to get you. Preaching ain't going to get you the money you think you're going to get if you see other people on TV doing. You're going to have to find you your own business, your own job, your own thing on the side. You may preach for people to get $15. You may preach for people to get $15,000. It all depends on the Spirit of the Lord and the people. But when you have someone to assist you in your walk in finances, assist you in your resources, you will begin to move forward in God. Keep. Walk by faith and confidence and not by sight. That is the will of God's work in your life. That is how you go further in God. That's how you go higher in God. And that's how God uses you like never before. I'm telling you, men and women of God, any of you out there that's struggling and going through anything that you're going through, just know, the race is not given to the swift, nor to the strong, but them that endure to the end. A just man falls 7 times. Each time he falls, he shall rise again. We all have sinned and called fall short of the glory of God. And I'm telling you, I tell people all the time, how are you going to try to get the mud out of my eyes? Hey, that's what Jesus said in Matthew 7. How are you going to get the mud out of my eyes when you ain't even got the plank out of your own eye? Judge ye not, that you be judged. The same type of measure you're doing to others shall be done unto you. On today, it's just about motivating leaders. I have told God on this morning that I'm studying here, leaders are killing themselves, falling, stepping down, just keep on to feeling that they're all alone. I want you to know that you're not alone, that you can be motivated and encouraged in God, and knowing that God has a great, great plan for your life. He got the blueprint. And even if you mess up the blueprint, he got a sinotype. And even if that he's the author and finisher of your faith, and great things shall take place in your life, knowing that your prayer is heard. Your prayer is heard. You can walk in your apostolic strategies, and you can know that God will do great things in your life. I have only for one more caller, and the caller that I'm going to pick, we can't be on the line long. We only have like another like 8 minutes. So you have a few minutes to just talk about the topics that we're talking about on today. We're talking about why do leaders struggle. Why do you think that certain things they struggle with, they're afraid to tell anyone? And if you knew that a leader was struggling with certain things that I just named, would you still see them the same? If a leader came and confided in you about certain issues that they're dealing with, could they believe in you and confidentiality? And if you were a leader, and if you are a leader, if you were struggling with something, would you cover it up, hide it, or put up on a rug, or would you be transparent with yourself and God and even the people of God to just admit the things that you do so you can move further in your ministry? Next call, you're live on the air. Oh, I know what this is. This is my sister, Prophet Shaloria. You're live on the air. You have like about 5 minutes to speak to the people of God.
Hello, I didn't have anything to say. I was just listening in.
Oh, okay, okay. You want to share just a little something since you're live on the air with the people?
No, not right now. Not at this time. I don't have anything.
Okay, God bless you, and thank you for calling in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, everyone, I just want you to know that you can be encouraged, you can be motivated, and knowing that great things in your life will take place. Do not listen to this. Galatians 1, verse 10 says, if you're going to be a people pleaser, you cannot be the servant of Christ. Do not do this thing to please people. I don't care what it is you're dealing with, what you're going through. Do not do it for people. Do it for God and yourself. When you do things in ministry to not concern people, that's how you can heal. Right now, we're just going to, before we get off the air, I just want to pray a little prayer for all the leaders, because the leaders are going through many things that people don't even know anything about, and people think they are Iron Man, and they're not Iron Man. They are, just like the Bible said in James 5, my life was just a man, but he prayed for it not to rain, and the heaven shut up in 3 years. They are, these people are men and women, normal men and women that's utilized and used by God. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we give your name glory on today, God. We magnify you on today, God. We lift your name up, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Touch that apostle, oh God, in this world. Touch that prophet, oh God. Touch that evangelist, pastor, teacher, missionary, administrator, prayer warrior, oh God. And any, even a praise and worship leader, God, that's in ministry, oh God. Even the saint, the brother and sister, God. Touch all your children in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, I decree that there be a revival that takes place in their spirit, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. I decree that an evangelistic anointing increase in their life, God, in the name of Jesus. I decree that there be an apostolic breakthrough in every area and increase in their life, God, in the name of Jesus. I decree that there be a realm of worship to increase in their life, oh, God. Touch them right now, oh, God, with a miracle and the power of your increase, God. Let them know that all is well, God, that you're there with them, God. Let them know, just like you told Elijah in your word, God, that he was not the only prophet left, that you had 50 in each cave, God. Let them know there's other men and women of God, oh, God, that can understand and that can push them to the next realm, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, I decree and declare, oh, God, that they be made holy and complete, God. In the name of Jesus, send, oh, God, an increase in their life, God, in their spirit, God. Stir up the gift, oh, God. And then in the name of Jesus, touch their mind, heart, soul, and spirit, oh, God. Hide them behind the cross, oh, God. So when they go forth, oh, God, and when they begin to pray to you, God, it won't be them speaking, but it be the God in them speaking, oh, God. Oh, God, help them to minister and encourage themselves like David and the Lord, God. Even if they don't have anyone to talk to, God, help them to grab the ephod just like David, God, and encourage themselves in the Lord, oh, God. In the name of Jesus, oh, God, I rebuke any witchcraft and sorcery prayer that's prayed against the men and women of God. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke whiplash, backlash, sabotage, catastrophe, disaster, accidents, kissing, collisions, tragedies over their life. In the name of Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus against it now, God. I send it to the dry places. The Lord Jesus, down and go. In the name of Jesus, God, if their mind said yes, their heart said yes, their soul said yes, their spirit said yes, God. In the name of Jesus, God, in night they fire, oh, God. In the name of Jesus, in night they body, oh, God, in spirit, in mind, in heart, for revival, oh, God. In the name of Jesus, help them to obtain revelation from you, oh, God. In the name of Jesus, save them all over again, oh, God. In the name of Jesus, purge them with hyssop, oh, God. Purify on your sanctification, God. Create them a clean heart, oh, God. Renew a right steadfast spirit within them, oh, God. In the name of Jesus, do not vanish from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from them, oh, God. But restore again, oh, God, the joy of your salvation, and make them willing to obey you, and they can teach your way to others so they can return to you, oh, God. In the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus comes up from the crown of their head to the sole of their feet, oh, God. In the name of Jesus, let them know this anointing that destroys every yoke, oh, God. In the name of Jesus, God, help them to overcome all the word and testimony and the blood of the Lamb. In the name of Jesus, God, oh, God, we decree and declare righteousness, oh, God, in their life, in the name of Jesus, holiness, oh, God, in the name of Jesus, because you are Jehovah's mechanism, for the Lord our God is holy. In the name of Jesus, oh, God, have your way in their life, God, cover them with your blood, God, let them know that Jehovah needs the Lord God their banner. In the name of Jesus, let them know that you're Jehovah Rapha, the Lord God that heals thee. In the name of Jesus, have your way in their life, God. Shine upon them, God. Renew them like the eagle, oh, God. In the name of Jesus, help them they know that they can move forward, oh, God. In the name of Jesus, renew carnality to destroy churches off their lives. In the name of Jesus, we plead the blood of Jesus against them now, God. Have your way, oh, God. Heal them right now, God. Oh, God, heal them, oh, God, in every area of their life, God. Heal them in their breach area, God. In the name of Jesus, cover them with your blood, God. In the name of Jesus, shine bright your light, God. In the name of Jesus, help them to ride on the sun of righteousness with healing in your wings. In the name of Jesus, he cut it out of the boat, yeah. We rebuke perversion and sexual perversion in the name of Jesus. We rebuke poverty and lack in the name of Jesus. We rebuke discord among the brethren in the body of Christ in the name of Jesus. We rebuke that gospel spirit in the name of Jesus. We rebuke that judgment spirit in the name name of Jesus. He come in the most. He come on the most, fire. He come in the most here. Have your way right now, God. Oh, God, shine your light, God. Have your way completely, God. And cover with the blood, God. We thank you, honor, adore you, God. And we magnify you. Come in the most here. Have your way right now, God. Help them to know that they can walk in their purpose, their promises, and their promise, God. In the name of Jesus, oh, come in the most here. Oh, you're have your way, God. Touch that man right now. Encourage him, God. Touch that woman right now, God. Encourage her, God. In the name of Jesus, we magnify you, God. We glorify you, God. We lift your name up, God. We give you the glory, God, on today. In the name of Jesus, these words were not fall to the ground, but it is sealed by the blood of the Lamb, God. And that right now, every man, every woman, God, that listen to the sound of my voice, God, increase them in the spiritual realm the more. Take them higher the more, God. Cover them with the blood right now, God. In every area of their life, all their families, oh, God. All their children, their grandchildren, God. At the workplace, in their business, God. In their finances, God. In their ministry, God. Take them to the place, God, that you need them to be, God. This we decree and declare the Lord, and these words will not fall to the ground. Oh, God, and they are established right now in the heavenlies, God, in the realms, oh, God, in the earth realm, God. In the name of Jesus, I pray, God. In Jesus' name, God, we magnify you, God. We lift your name up, God. We call on your name. We love you so much, God. We love you, our Father. Whenever we don't even know how to pray, God, and we don't have the words to say, God, the Spirit will make one and more than words can be uttered for us, God, in intercession, God. We give you glory. We magnify you, God. Touch them right now, God, and have your way in their life, God. We love you. We magnify you. We just your name up, God. You said them that must worship, you must worship in spirit and truth, God. Help us, oh God, to find ourselves in worship, God. In the name of Jesus, touch us right now, God, and have your way, God. In the name of Jesus, we love you and we magnify you. We need you, God. We need you to help us, God. Take us higher, God. Come on, Sire. We need you so much, God. And we love you, God. Come on, Sire. Oh, we trust you, God, for our present and future's in your hands, God. We know the pathway you're going to take us, God. It's greater than what we can see, God. We walk by faith, oh, God. Come on. You come along, fire. In the name of Jesus, let us hear the sound of victory, God. The sound of victory, come on. The sound of victory, come on. In Jesus' name, come on. Come on. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I am your host on today because we only have one more minute left. Pastor Tashana Wiley, be blessed, be motivated and encouraged. And remember that God loves you because his love is agape and is greater beyond anything you can imagine. I'm leaving out with Dave Hollister, What Do You Do? Be blessed. Agape!
Tell me what do you do.